everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Board Game Mechanics. I'm Katie, and with me, as always, is...
Hey, everybody, what's going on? It is Jason.
We are back. A lot of stuff has finally come to an end for us. Our daughter's musical is over, and we were able to celebrate St. Patrick's Day and our wedding anniversary. So it's nice to finally have a breather and get back to kind of business as usual around here.
Yeah, until cheerleading starts.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, until the eclipse.
Oh, no, I don't care about that. That's fine.
I mean, I think it's a cool thing, and we are in the path of totality, which is pretty cool. So if any of you are really interested in the eclipse, come visit us. We'll play some games after that 4 minutes.
Yeah. It'll be cool. I'm playing a concert that day. A lot of places around here are shutting down early or closing altogether for the day just to celebrate and have some fun. So,
like our kids' school. You know what doesn't shut down? The Air Force. So I will continue to work.
Yeah. People will still check out the eclipse.
I'm sure. It's close. It's almost time that I get in my shift, so... I think it's like 3 something in the afternoon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 3:30-ish or something like that. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I'll be fine. Totally be fine to do it in my free time and not on working hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or on working hours, and no one will care.
They might. They might.
No, they're all going to be looking at it too.
Stuff still has to keep going. I'm vital to the mission or whatever. But we are excited to be here and to move on from our top 100 list finally, which took us forever because we are well into 2024. Thank you, all of you, for a few shout outs of new topics and stuff. We appreciate that because we're just going to start stealing ideas from other people, basically.
Yep. Yep, I got some video series that I'm going to start, and it's going to be fun.
I know, but then I was thinking about the one you were going to do. I wanted to do that as a topic on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
But maybe do like a real version, because are you doing a...
Yeah, I'm going to do a joke video of it. Okay. We can do a real version on the podcast.
Okay. So all that aside, let's go into news so we can get this episode started. My first bit of news warrants mention because of the art. Well, it warrants mention for 2 reasons. The art, and plus, this is actually, it has a theme that we were just discussing. And the game is called Fled, a gripping game of gutsy escape. And so you are thrown into jail. What happened? It's a Victorian prison. You were just trying to make ends meet during the Great Potato Famine in Ireland. And for your thievery, you were sent to Spike Island Prison. So now you have to get out. So this is a game about escaping prison. You're laying a tile to develop the board on your turn as you're trying to escape. And then also you're playing other tiles for the resources that are on them because you need certain resources to be able to trade to get out. Also, you know when the wardens are going to check in at certain locations. So you have to be in the right place for roll call at the right times, which I think makes a really cool little strategic part on that. It's not like, hey, let's just run out. But it's also, okay, how are we going to use our tiles? What kind of contraband and tools do we need to get out? And then also, am I going to be able to get to the place I need when I need to be there so that the wardens don't know that I'm trying to escape. But the artwork is by my boy, Clemens Franz. I mean, how could I not talk about a game illustrated by Clemens Franz? So this one, I think the theme is fun. It looks like... these little printed on meeples. What I don't like is they have like one quick brief paragraph on how to play. But then to figure out more of the rules, you have to watch a video. All right. Rant started. I understand a lot of people don't like to read things. We live in a society of TLDR. Okay, if it's not a quick snippet, whatever, move on. I can watch a YouTube video on that, blah, 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 blah. I get it. You don't have to give me the whole rule book. But don't give me a 45-minute video explaining how to play the game on your Kickstarter page and expect me to watch that in order for me to decide if I want to buy the game. No, thank you. I'm not wasting that kind of time, especially if I get into it. I'm like, this looks stupid because the first, 5 to 10 minutes are the setup. I don't need to know that to decide if I want to play this game. Now, conversely, I don't want you to put on there like two sentences that just give me the general theme and I can't even tell what mechanics the game are in. And it's like, good luck figuring it out. Ha ha, suckers. No. Like, if you want your Kickstarter to be successful, you need to get people like, okay, there are some people that are just like, oh, autoback. I mean, sure, if I were a crazy person, I'm like, oh, Clemens Franz artist. Yes, autoback this. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not. Some people do that. I get it. But I want to know if this is a game worth wasting my time with. Because when you sign up and pledge on a Kickstarter, it's an investment, not just a monetary one. It's like, is this going to fund? They're going to send me 25 notices. I got to pay for this thing. Who knows what in the world the shipping is going to be? Who knows when it's going to be shipped? Maybe they're going to hold a hostage and I have to pay extra in order to get it actually to me. I don't know. It's a whole kind of crapshoot. And you're going to make me watch a 45-minute video? Like, I have all kinds of things that make me mad about crowdfunded things, like don't get me started on all like the 3D printing minis of busty babes. Like, what are you doing with those freak shows? But my real issue is I need to know how to take a basic turn in this game so I can decide if it has the things that I like in a game. Maybe I'm asking too much. And I don't mind if you use videos. I understand there's some people that reading is just too hard for them. Okay. But a sentence is doable. My favorite are when they have like a sentence explaining like what, like, okay, first thing you can do is this. And they have a little video that's like just a clip of showing the action being taken or even a couple actions. Thank you. That'll work for both types of people. But No, I'm annoyed by that trend. Like, oh, to see how this game works, watch this video. No, I don't want to watch that video. Okay, in rant, soapbox away. But this game looks good. Even though I don't have like a super ton on how it works, at least I can see what the basic mechanics are. So I appreciate that. So if you think this is a fun theme, like escaping a prison, not just like a regular prison, it's not like a max security, it's a Victorian prison with this little puzzly elements, tile laying, all those kind of things. And number one, Clemens Franz art, check out Fled. It has 11 more days on Kickstarter from the time this episode drops. And the retail pledge is $40. So on par with most games these days.
Yeah, I looked at this a little bit just because the prison and break theme was cool. And it's the same company that did Feudum. So I was, how do you go from Feudum to this? So I was just curious. It doesn't seem like it's supposed to be super heavy or anything, so.
I don't know that it's super heavy, except for the fact that, so the creator is a professor. He was a professor, now he's a game designer. And that designed, Feudum. And so I think that's really interesting, kind of having that, like, I feel like that background, that there's like some really interesting actual historical things put behind the theme of this, which I do enjoy.
Yeah, I definitely want to try it, but I'm not It's not high on my list of things that I would like to play, but it does seem fun.
Okay, the next game I want to talk about is so cute, to be honest. And it's from our friends over at All Play, formerly known as BoardGameTables.com. Did I get that right?
That is correct.
And actually, I was confused because the artwork is so adorable. It reminds me almost of some of the kids' table board games. In fact,
good job. These two in a row.
It was real hard. I had to think really hard about that one. Because of these cute little animals. And this is called River Valley Glassworks. So in this one, there is a river that leads into a lake. I mean, imagine that, right? However, in the river, we've got river glass. And players are entrepreneurs who are there to use this beautiful river glass. And so you're drafting from the river. At some point, you can also draft from the lake. You are putting things into your inventory. Okay, so you have an inventory. You take a piece of glass in your inventory, and you're going to put it on a river tile with one that matches it. Then you take all the glass from an adjacent tile. So there's a little bit of like a mancala feel in that. And then you're going to take the glass front that you just chose and put it into your shop. So it's got to go like left-hand most column that's empty, unless other pieces of that same color is our new shop. So it has this Azul feel as well, but you're stacking them to try and earn points. Then it's really cool. The river tiles like actually flow. So you take out the empty one, you put it at the end, and you push down the river. And then you draw new glass out to put into the river, which I think is cool. And then you can refill your inventory by drafting from the lake. And there are pieces in the lake. And so you can put, then you would refill the lake. And then you're going to use those inventory pieces. Then you're scoring your rows and columns. And you don't want to take pieces that don't fit because you lose points. So it does have that Azul feel, but I think with a really cute theme, with this river glass and with your little, the little characters are real cute little river animals. I think like a beaver, and I think there's a turtle who I always want to be. Obviously they're the best. So these really, really cute figure, maybe a frog. Now the components are cool at the retail version, but they've got like all these, they've got a deluxe version edition and a founder's edition. Now the founder's edition is expansive. However, the thing about the founder's edition is it has real glass pieces in your river. You actually have glass. So that's like super premium. So if you love like prime time components, also like the player token, the first player token is this 68 millimeter tall grizzly bear. It's a little much. However, super cute. And it does have a basic retail edition that just uses acrylic pieces for your glass. So I like that it has that for everyone. So if you like cute little animals, if you like that kind of abstracty, puzzly, Azul bit, this is supposed to play really quick. I think, 20 to 30 minutes. Check out River Valley Glassworks. 12 days left in that Kickstarter from the time this episode drops, and the retail version is $39.
Yeah, this seems fun. All I've looked at it is the components, because the components are really good, but when I looked at it, it reminded me of like Cascadia or a game like that from that company. What company is that? Flat Out, like Verdant and all that kind of, that's what the art kind of reminded me of.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the game plays at all like that, though. It doesn't make me think of that.
I haven't watched anything. I was just looking at boxes.
I didn't watch anything either because I read. Now, also on this Kickstarter, they have like, number one, draft from the river. And they have a brief explanation of what that means, like two sentences. And then they have a little video of showing what you do when you draft from the river. Thank you. I want to do the slow clap for All Play for this Kickstarter. That is how you do it. I don't know if it's going to pick up my slow clap, but there it was.
I mean, I heard it, so maybe we'll see. We'll see what happens.
But yes, this looks really cute. I don't like Azul. I don't like that necessarily. But this one's really short. Like, I think even maybe shorter than Azul. So, I'll buy into a woodsy, cute character theme all day long. So this one definitely intrigues me. So River Valley Glassworks, that is my last bit of news today.
All right, so let's talk about some games that we played. And we have played some decent amount of games. So without further ado.
I'm so proud of us.
Yeah, I'm proud of us too. Good job, us. So the first game we're going to talk about is a game, Katie's first game that she's ever backed on Kickstarter.
All by myself.
And we played it. We played it with the kid. I did a video. You can check that out. It's called Let's Go to Japan. And this is a game from AEG. And it's about planning a trip to Japan. Specifically, Kyoto and Tokyo. I mean, there's an expansion where you can go different places. But those are the two big cities that you're going to visit. And you're spending, it's a drafting game. You're going to be getting cards from either Kyoto or Tokyo. And you're trying to plan a trip Monday through Saturday, 3 cards in each day. And you have to get bus tickets, train tickets. I keep saying bus. Train tickets if you're going to move between locations. So you're trying to manage where you want to go. Bus tickets effectively. You're trying to match icons on each of these days because certain days may want you to visit shrines or eat some food or all that kind of thing. And then you're just trying to score some points. So you plan your whole trip. Basically, the whole game is planning. And then at the end, you score it and see how well you did. It's really cool. And every day is going to have a, I forget what it's called, but like the highlight of the day, which is like a goal or something that you're trying to accomplish. And it's fun. It's got, we have the deluxe version. It's got some amazing components. Looks fantastic. Killer art. It's just solid. So yeah, I really dig this. If you want to check it out, you can look at our video. But otherwise, listen to Katie, what she thinks about it.
When Katie's going to back a game on Kickstarter, she's going by deluxe. That's faux show. Y'all know I care. I mean, Jason shared this really terrible video of my unboxing it, which poor planning. I was just so excited to get into it. And it did not disappoint. And the game is really good. It's very quick. You do need bus tickets, or you don't need bus tickets because you can't, if you rode a bus from Tokyo to Kyoto, it would take forever. So you hop on the Shinkansen and you get there in 2 hours. Like, that's what you got to do. The components are awesome. Like, they're so good in this. It's in some ways almost like, there's set collection. It's almost engine building-esque. You are doing like in-game scoring. Nearly all of it's in-game scoring, but also setting yourself up for that. Utilizing bonuses. So you are getting some stuff during the game. So it doesn't feel like, oh, everything scored at the end. But you're like, you get these day bonuses once you get three activities scheduled for each day. We haven't played. We played one little bit, a little mini expansion, Passports, that gave you player powers, which were really awesome. It reminded me of the Marco Polo player powers where, like, everyone, you're like, that is OP. That's, OP. But they're not. Like, they're all just really wicked good. And there's an expansion that's, like, day trips where it adds, like, a little weekend. And then you can make day trips from, like, from Kyoto and Tokyo, you know, to Osaka, Nara, and those kind of places that are close to Tokyo and Kyoto. Obviously, for me, this like hit thematically so great because I just planned a trip to Japan and I went to both these places and I took a day trip, took a trip to Osaka. So seeing them again was really great. I've always loved, you know, Asian theme games anyway, but this one like super hit home and made me think like, I can't wait to actually plan another real trip to Japan. But also teaching it to other people. I feel like it is not that complex. Like we played it one time with my cousins and after they played it, they're like, okay, like, I think I'll do better next time. But it was really quick enough that it wasn't that difficult to just go ahead and play another round, which I like. I like that about this. Now, normally what I love AEG for is their small box games, and this is a little bit bigger. But dang, like, I really loved this game. I was so happy. Like, it did not disappoint me. It is the kind of game I like. There's, again, it's fairly simple as far as what actions you do. Like, it's all planned out on this board each turn. Like, draw one card from each deck, pass one card, play one card. Like, fairly simple, but deciding, like, ooh, where am I going to play this? Do I want to play it? Do I want to instead take a walk and, like, gamble because I don't really like this card? Do I want to match this symbol or save it for later? What's going to be the highlight of the day, which is, like, a goal I'm getting for each day to try to fulfill, because there's big points in those for sure at the end. And then balancing the symbols you need to get that. Like, yes, this game is good. It's everything I wanted. Yeah, I'm so happy about it.
Yeah. All right. So this is a good game. I don't know when it's officially coming out or if it is out. I don't know any of that. But
if you didn't back it on Kickstarter, you need to get a retail copy. I'm telling you.
Correct. Yeah. I don't know when it's coming out, but it'll come out. It's been pretty popular. So there you go. The next game that we played is from Pandasaurus, and it is, again, I think this one might have just come out, and it's called Courtesans. And this is a little card game. It's a little card game where you are trying to build influence in basically a tableau in front of you, a shared tableau at the queen's table. You're trying to influence positively or negatively to the queen's table. And then you're going to be giving cards to other players to influence their tableau. So on your turn, you get three cards. Play one to you, play one to the queen's table, play one to somebody else. What you're trying to do is you're trying to have cards in front of you of a certain color. I think there's five colors or six colors. And then you're trying to get the queen's table to have that family in esteem. So if I have four green cards, that's a lot of green cards. So I want to try to get the green family positive value, because all my green cards will be worth a point. But people see I'm collecting green, they're going to try to make that green family in low esteem. I forget what they're called, but fallen from grace or something. And then all my cards will be negative if there's more fallen from grace cards than esteem cards. It seems super, super simple. And the first time I played it, I did really terribly. And I didn't really think there was a game there. But the more that it plays and the more that I can see the nuance, the more that I really like this, because you're always thinking about what everybody's doing, because you need to influence the queen accordingly. If, you know, Katie has six white cards, I clearly don't want her to let white be positive, because that's a lot of points for her. So I'm going to start playing some cards, maybe some space face down spies to try to trick it, maybe an assassin to kill some of her white cards, a whole bunch of stuff you can do. And it's really fun. I enjoy this game quite a bit. I wasn't sold on it at first, but I do really dig it. So what'd you feel about Courtesans?
Yeah, I like this game a lot. I love, I'm a big fan of card games that do kind of a classic feel, but with some really like fun, rule bending. Also the art on these cards, gorgeous. They're gold. They've got some gold foil on them. Chef's kiss, love that. But the idea that I've got these three cards and I know I want to keep one, I got to keep one and I got to give somebody else one and I got to lay one down at the queen's court. Like, sometimes you want all of them. Sometimes you don't want any of them. You've got a secret objective and it can score you like two secret objectives. They can score you like in this big points. Because points can be really hard to come by. So trying to get those. And then sometimes it just doesn't work with how the cards are played. And people have got their own objectives too. And they all know what the crap years are. And again, really simple. I put one card in front of me. I put one card in front of somebody else. Put one card at the queen's table or court. But that choice can be agonizing. Like a brutal. Yeah, I really like this. We played this several times in a row. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be a regular rotation game for sure. Just a nice little filler, fun, thinky, but not like obviously overwhelmingly complex. So good.
Yep, I agree. Again, don't know when this comes out, but if that sounds interesting, check it out. All right, and the last one I'm not going to spend too much time on, but we played Return to Dark Tower, and we played with one of the expansions, and that's the Monuments. And I just wanted to talk about that quickly because I don't know how many people have played the expansions or whatever.
But or because the you're obsessed with the Return to Dark Tower.
And I am right obsessed now with the game. That is correct. But the Monuments basically get rid of one of the buildings in each of the locations, and then you're going to have to do special like tasks three times for each of these different buildings to build the monument, and it's going to give you some kind of special ability. And along with the monuments comes Wasteland that's going to make some of the spaces on the board junky. So basically it loses this terrain type and you can't walk. Once you get into it, move into it, you have to stop. And it changes up some of the scenarios a little bit based on the... It's going to have different events that happen when you play with an expansion. But I just kind of wanted to mention this one quickly because I love Dark Tower and I finally played with an expansion. So there you go. How do you feel about this Monuments one? Did you like it?
No. I mean, it's cool what it does. Like, it can be good. I just think this game is already freaking hard as it is. Like, I don't want to add stuff to make it even more complex, to be honest.
It does make it harder, too. It was definitely harder to play. Not to play, but to win, for sure.
Yeah, and we played with them at least twice. And the first time we chose like all new characters from this expansion because we're like, yeah, these are cool. They are cool, but I think you really need to be more strategic with what characters people pick when you have the monuments. Because some things are going to be super rare. Some things are just not going to work out for you. And like, you're like, oh, we didn't have anybody that really got warriors. We're like, well, crap.
Yeah, that first game was a struggle.
It was. We were definitely riding the struggle bus on that one. So if people play Return to Dark Tower a lot, and I don't think it's ever easy to win. But if you're like winning, you know, at least 50% of the time, absolutely go for the monuments. Try to make it a little bit tougher. Try the more complex characters. But I'm just fine playing with regular.
Yeah, regular is. There's still a ton of replayability there, and you're not going to get bored with it anytime soon. So, but since we played with an expansion, I wanted to talk about it, so there you go. So those are three games that we played. Now we'll move on and talk about something else.
And we're back to our top 100. Oh, wait. No, we're finally done with that. I've just been saying it for so long. And next in our top 100, we still haven't finished our 100 outside the 100. I'm working on that. The videos are harder for me because when I come home from work, I just look like dog crap, basically. I put on my animal print nightgown and I'm like, forget this. Also, I have a sty right now. I don't know what's going on with my eyeballs, but I would not like to be Quasimodo on a video. So we will finish those. We are committed to finishing the 100 outside the 100 on live videos. But since we finally finished up our top 100 of 2023 or of all time, but as calculated for 2023, we want to take a look at our favorite games that came out in 2023. And honestly, there were a lot of really good ones. And there's some that we haven't played yet that we actually own. Shame, shame, shame. I know your name. It's us. That are going to be really great. I have a feeling. We just haven't got to them because we're too busy playing Return of Dark Tower or something, apparently. Jason's all Ameritrash, and we've got these other great games sitting on the shelf. But we each picked five, and we would have had a lot of crossovers, to be honest, because there are a lot of games we really enjoyed from 2023 that correct hit our table quite a bit. So know that basically all of Jason's games would have made it to my list as well. So, Jace, kick us off with your number five game of 2023.
All right, so my number five game is actually a social deduction game of sorts, and it's from Facade Games, and it is, Hollywood 1947. And this is one of those games that comes in a little box, and this newest version is about the Red Scare in the cinemas and movies in 1947. And basically what you're trying to do is you're making movies, and you're either going to be on the Patriot team, you're going to be on the Communist team, or you're going to be a rising star, and you're kind of doing your own thing for the win. And the way that the game works is you're going to be flipping a movie. They're going to have maybe Patriot or Communist symbols. And then you're trying to use your movie ability, like an editor, cinematographer, whatever, to basically help you get cards that are benefit you into the movie. Everybody's going to have a die. If they have a star, they're going to be able to play a card. And you're trying to get cards that you like a Patriot or Communist in the movie to sway the movie in your favor. You win if you get four. The rising star wins if it's a tie on movie seven. And yeah, there you go. So that's it. You're trying to figure out who's on your team, who's not on your team, and keep them from making good movies. So it's super fun. It's as far as all these games go, this is probably one of the easier ones. It's super fast, like maybe 20, 30 minutes. You'll play five rounds, well, at most seven rounds, and then it's over. And on your turn, you're just taking one action and moving on. So I really enjoy this. It's fun, and I like it quite a bit. So number five, Hollywood 1947.
Yeah, this one is really good. Definitely would have been on my list as well. I generally love social deduction. I like the roles on this one. There's just lots of cool things that this does. And I mean, I really enjoy this company's games. I cannot remember their name.
Facade. My head.
Oh yeah, Facade. You just said that. I would say this is probably my favorite Facade game at this point, and we own all of them, I think.
Except for one.
What?
Deadwood we don't have anymore because I didn't love that one.
Yeah. But this one's good. I bought this for you.
You did? It's good?
Yeah. My number five is a game that fits with all of my themes. I think at first Jason didn't like this one, but I think it's grown on him because it's got a gimmick. And that game is Sushi Boat. So in Sushi Boat, you're at a conveyor belt sushi restaurant, which is like my favorite thing. We just went to one for our wedding anniversary. There's one near us in Columbus. I actually heard there was another one in Cincinnati that we'll have to try from a friend. I didn't realize they were close. But in Sushi Boat, it's like worker placement set collection. So you place your person on the sushi boat where you want to take sushi from, and there's little arrows that show where you're going to take it. You can also activate some of the employees that work there that have special powers. You can buy these appetizers that are actually really powerful, but we just never seem to really buy them. But it's a good idea to do so, even though I just never do it. And then periodically, a wasabi card will come out, and you have to try to remember what color of the dishes are in this particular hidden part of the conveyor belt. Because you're trying to do set collection with different types of sushi and colors of plates. So you get a nice little stack of sushi plates. It is fun. I mean, I just love pushing the little sushi plates into the conveyor belt. The wasabi, like, I never remember, so I just make some crazy guesses and hope for the best. Because if you get it right, you get to keep the wasabi, and those are points at the end. Super quick. I think it just, a lot of people like it because it looks cool, and the idea of that pushing plates and guessing is goes over really well. So my number five is Sushi Boat.
And the boat is made out of wood, which is awesome.
It's pimp.
It's really nice. All right. So my number five was a social deduction, which, who am I? My number four is a real-time game, really, who am I? And it is from Flat Out Games, and it's called Fit to Print. And this is a game about animals who are running a newspaper. And you're trying to, it's kind of in two parts. You're drafting these different articles which are basically polyomino tiles from the center of the table. And this is timed. You have to reach out, look at a tile. You can only use one hand. If you pick it up, you have to pick it up, put it above your table, look at it, and then if you want to keep it, you put it under the table, otherwise you put it back. And you're trying to basically plan out your newspaper by just looking at tiles before you can actually place anything. So it's you're trying to be, I guess you're just trying to be good at that puzzle without really placing. And then once you get all your tiles, then you're going to be able to place. And there are some rules to placement. You can't put certain things next to certain things. You can't go outside the boundary like a normal newspaper. And then you're just trying to score points. That's it. And I think you play over two or three rounds or something like that. I haven't played it for a minute, so I forget. But it has cool artwork. It has cool player powers. And it was just way more fun than I thought it was going to be. Our friend Brandon brought it over. I was like, oh, man, real time, that's lame. But then I played it, and I was really into it. So, yeah, my number four, Fit to Print.
Yeah. Jason played this with some other people first, and he said, you're going to hate this. And I was like, oh, really? And then I played it, and I really liked it, actually. It is polyominoes, which I stink at, and I'm bad. Like, I will never, never win this game. I just won't. It's over 3 days because you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday edition paper.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I think the concept is cool. I like, it's kind of like, oh, I'm just going to draw these tiles and we'll see what happens. That's basically how I play every time. So in some ways it's freeing, but I'm trying to like match up some symbols and things to get bonuses as well.
If you have too many tiles left over, you lose points too. So yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So I stink, super stink of this game. But it's still fun to play, which I think is a testament to a good game. And I think that the components are cool for just such a little game.
Yeah.
Because this is an all play game, right?
Like you said? No, it's a flat out.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah. Cascadia and all them. Yeah, because Brandon and Josie back all those. So
I know, that's true.
Yeah.
So we don't actually own this game?
No, this is Brandon's.
Oh, that's sad. My number four, I don't know who makes it. I don't know who designs it or anything.
It's Plaid Hat.
Oh. This is a Plaid Hat game that Jason likes, which there are not many of those.
There are exactly three.
But actually, we don't know what Jason likes anymore because he's completely lost his mind.
That's true.
And is playing story games. I heard next true. Week he's going to start like DMing an RPG, you know, whatever.
let's not go that far yet.
I'm waiting for the day. My number four is Hickory Dickory. This game. So number one, I guess, are all my games gimmicky games? No.
Well, not we really. Love gimmicky games. Well, I do. I love gimmicky games.
You do, but all mine are gimmicky. It's kind of like that rhyme, that hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. So you have a clock. There are clock hands, and they're like physical freaking clock hands because you are putting meeple mice on them, and you got different mice. You got like a little fatty mouse, and you got like a little jumpy mouse, and you got like a little smarty mouse. And so each of the mice that you have, they are your workers. They each have different abilities. So there are spaces around the clock. You are collecting, like buttons and
marbles, marbles
and things, to like do contract fulfillment. But you have to do it by stopping at these different places around the clock. And your mice can come on and jump off at different times, but they're only used once per hour. It's just, again, like I put my mouse on or take my mouse off. Like that's really it. I take these tiles or I don't. Like the different spaces have different things that you can do at each one, depend, you know, if you get off or not. It's adorable. It's very tactile, but again, fairly simple gameplay, but really like difficult decisions. Like, okay, how do I end up, I know I need these tiles, but how do I get them from this place and with which mouse and do that? Does that mouse have room to carry them? Because you also have to consider that too. And your mice can trade with their items with each other if they're at the same space. So trying to get that to happen is also like really key. Like, production quality is great. Art quality is great. I just love the mechanics of this game. It is super, super good. So my number four, Hickory Dickory.
Yeah, speaking of that list that we said we were going to do, this one could probably be on there for sure.
Oh, yeah, a real version.
Yeah, the Hidden Gems thing.
Yeah, people do not talk about this game. Yeah, and I mean, I realize it came out in the last year, so maybe they don't know about it, but I don't know. It's
good. Plaid Hat has that issue. Like, they have a ton of games that if it's not Forgotten Waters or like Dead of Winter, no one seems to care. I don't get it. I don't get it.
This one is good.
It is really good. It is really good. My number three is also really good, and it is from Kids Table Board Games, and it is called Maple Valley. And this is kind of the spiritual successor to Creature Comforts, basically in theme only, I think. But this is a game where you have little woodland creatures and you're moving around the forest and the rivers trying to basically collect different resources to turn them in to recruit new friends and build different things. Like, you may need to make some soup or build a chair or make some socks or something. I don't know. We haven't played it that much, so I don't really know what's in there. But you're just trying to collect goods to spend them to get other things. It's all done through cards. All the cards are going to tell you how you can move and maybe give you some kind of bonus action. There's like maybe, I don't know, six or seven actions on the board. We have a couple little expansions as well that jazz it up. But it's really fun. It's a cool puzzle. It's actually a lot harder than it seems, trying to get those resources that you need, getting the characters that you need. You don't have a lot of time to do that, so trying to figure out how to do that, therein lies the challenge. So I really enjoy this. Kids Table Board Games knocks it out of the park, and this one's no exception. So my number three, Maple Valley.
Yeah, I'd like to play this one again because it was much more difficult than Creature Comforts, but not necessarily in a bad way. I just didn't know what to expect. And we haven't played it enough for me to really think get a good feel on it. My number three, I was super excited about. This is from Paverson. Yeah? Huh?
Yeah, good job.
Look at me go. I know, because I visited their booth a lot at Origins, and they like eventually knew me by name, which is disturbing. Oh, yeah, and the Dave is the designer, right?
Dave Beck.
Look at me. Two for two. Dave, I know you're not going to listen to this podcast, but the fact that I remembered you and the company, I mean, you made an impression, bro. And that's true with this game, which is Distilled. And I can't wait for the other one that he's working on to come out. But that's a whole other podcast. Distilled, you are running a distillery. It comes with so many different characters. We have like everything for it because I was kind of really into it, and just was like, Jason, fork over the money, man. I want this game. And it did not disappoint. So you run this distillery. You have to get ingredients, you know, shopping for ingredients. You're maintaining your actual distillery, like physically, as far as, you know, where you get your water sometimes, where things are like, I don't, different other kinds of equipment, employees that can help make your distillery run better, different kinds of ingredients, and learning recipes. So you learn recipes to make different kinds of spirits, and then mixing those, getting bottles to bottle your liquor and get it distributed. You're selling it, making money off that to go back into your distillery. You're also creating this bottle collection. There's like such replayability in this, like a bajillion different like recipe sets, different player powers based on who your distiller is. I just, it is thinky, brain burny, like planning ahead, but yet economic sort of, like just a lot of stuff going on in this game. I think the theme's fun. I think components are awesome. This game is good. That's why it's my number three for the year, Distilled.
Yeah, this would have been probably my number one or number two. It's really good. I agree with it. My number two is actually the sequel to Scythe. Stupid name. But it's called Expeditions. Really has nothing to do with Scythe other than it has the same art and has a giant mech that's superfluous. But what you're doing in this game is you are basically exploring around this map of these huge hex tiles, and you're trying to basically collect stars. So Stonemaier loves the star system where you need to be the first player to put down so many stars by completing goals. And you're doing that in this game by collecting workers, hiring cards. There's different kinds of cards. You're building engines. You're basically just exploiting the tiles in any way that you can to fulfill. I think you have to get 4 stars down on the board first. And there's like 8 different things you can try to do. Everybody's trying to do them. You're just trying to do them better than everybody else. It's really fun. I enjoy this. I played it a lot solo, which is actually nice because it's like 40 minutes. It goes on a little too long with actual other people because just the nature of the game. But I really think it's a good game. I like this way more than Scythe because it takes all the stuff from Scythe that I don't like out. And it just gives me basically a Euro version of Scythe, which I like. So my number two, Expeditions.
This is probably one of the only ones that wouldn't have been on my list because I don't like this game. It's fine. My number two is a game that I want to play more because it's got so much stuff that I love. Like, I love games where like one action can lead to another action can lead to another action if you get them all like lined up right, and there's planning and forethought and hitting these combos. When the combos will fire off, you're like, yeah, what a good turn. And that's White Castle. Again, it's a beautiful Asian themed game. The White Castle is Haimeiji Castle in Japan, which I did not see. But it looks a lot like Osaka Castle because both are large white castles. I think Haimeiji is prettier. But White Castle, you've got these dice that you are choosing that you're then placing to take actions. And you don't get many actions. And it's got like these gimmicky bridges where the dice go on. If you get the dice off the low end, you actually get to fire off, I don't remember what they're called.
Lanterns.
Lanterns? Really? That's what they're called?
Yeah. Lantern bonus, yeah.
These lantern bonuses, sure. And also take a turn. So there's something really strategic about how do I do that, but you also need higher numbers to go to like these really great spaces. So like buffing up your lantern bonuses can really work out well for you. Or you can go the route where you take dice off the other end of the bridge that are higher numbers and use them to take these really powerful actions and then try to combo them with other things as you're placing stuff out on your board. It's so good. It's like a tech tree, but it's not tech, but it functions like that.
Yeah, it's like an engine builder with technology track, yeah, kind of.
Because like the more you clear off, you get access to more things and you got more powerful actions and bonuses and things. And pulling the different types of workers off and putting them on the board is what's going to score you buku points. It just plays to all the things I flip and love. It was so close to being my number one. If I had played it more, it probably would be, and I expect to see it pretty high in my top 100 next year. So my number two is White Castle.
Yeah, and this is one of those games where from turn one, it's just hitting you in the face with bonuses, which is pretty awesome.
But yet you have like 5 turns or something.
Yeah, you have over the course of the entire game, you have 9 turns, which is crazy. But yeah. All right, so my number one is actually a game we play quite a bit. It has Vincent Dutrait art. And Katie got me this one too, and it is called After Us, and this is from Pandasaurus, I think. Yes. And this is a game about, it's a deck building game of sorts, deck building hand managed card line management game about what happens when humans are gone and the apes are taking over the world. So like Planet of the Apes theme is kind of where we are.
The theme is completely arbitrary.
Yeah, it's irrelevant. They're just colored decks with some ape pictures. I mean, it's irrelevant. But what you're doing is you're drawing four cards and you're putting these cards next to each other. They have little like icons with these little boxes on them. And you're trying to match up boxes to enclose the stuff in the boxes, and it's sometimes going to take two cards to do that. And you're trying to get good, you're trying to get batteries, you're trying to score points. And this game is a race to 80 points. So while you only have four cards to play, there's, you know, three or four different ways you can put those cards in that line to maximize what you're trying to get to help you get points before other players. And then after everybody's done that, you're going to pick from one of the four decks of ape cards based on the resources you have available or whatever you want to bid. And you're going to get a new card into your deck that goes on top, which is pretty awesome. You don't have to wait. It just goes onto your top and you get to use it next time, which is pretty cool. So a deck builder with a couple new wrinkles and really cool art and nice production. And I really enjoy it. So my number one, After Us.
I don't mind playing this one. I don't really like it that much. The more I play it, the more I dislike it. And it's probably because I stink at it, to be honest. I don't know. My brain just doesn't work very well at it. It's fun.
Well, it's a race game, too, so you don't really love those.
Yeah, and I don't love the race game either. But what I do love is my number one game of 2023. And again, like I said, this and White Castle were so close, but I've played this one a lot more, and that's Earth. Earth is what I wanted Terraforming Mars to be, what I absolutely wanted Ark Nova to be, and wasn't. Those both fell short. Earth is so good. You are developing a tableau of your Earth. You're terraforming it, but not Mars, Earth, because we don't need space, dag nabbit. There's cool stuff here. And it really has, like, all these cards have all these cool, like, fungi and ferns and trees and flowers. I love that. Oh, my gosh. I think it's so cool. I just love reading the cards. They're all different. It's awesome. But you're trying to lay them out in a way that you're getting points from each other. It's another one of those games where you choose an action to take, and you take a more powerful version of the action. Everyone else gets a weaker version, which is cool because you're engaged in every round. Like, something is happening to you, for you, even if it's not your turn per se. And you can make your points your way. You can really go into building sprouts and things on your cards. You can instead get like different tundra and maximize that. Like, there's lots of different ways to make that happen. These growth parts. You've got personal goals. There's shared goals. Those give you good points. Just a lot of different ways to score points in this. Really cool cards, artwork, like this engine building, strategic arrangement to like get points off points off points. It's so good. It's so good. I love it. My number one, Earth.
Yeah, this was probably my number one or number two as well. It's really good. You're always, every turn you're playing, and I love that. You're always playing. Everybody's always playing in this game, which I think is fantastic. And more games need to figure out how to do that. All right, so we do have some honorable mentions. Not many. We have four. There probably could be more, but this is just where we are. And it's our podcast, so there we go. So the first one I'm going to talk about, which almost made my list, and this is from Buffalo Games. They're killing it. You know we like them. And this one is Penny Black. And this is a game about collecting stamps based on the Penny Black stamp. This is a famous stamp from stamp lore. I don't know. But you're basically drafting stamps, and you have two sides of your little stamp book, and you're trying to score them into each side in two different ways. So you're trying to collect the stamps that you can play to help you meet your scoring criteria. That's it. It's 10 rounds, I think. It's lightning fast, has fantastic components except for the stupid bag. But aside from that, the stamps are really nice. The book is awesome. These little stars that come with it are cool. Everything about this game is fantastic, and I like it. So Penny Black is number one.
Yeah, I like Panini Black also. I didn't think I would because it has sort of some polyomino elements to it. But again, that like...
It's all square, squares-ish.
Some are rectangles. But just ish. Trying to hit your goals and the fact that you can actually place things and move them around makes it, my brain can actually handle it. But we played it with some of our friends who are not gamers by any stretch of the imagination. And they're like, yeah, I think we could play this just us at two players. They're like, you're the only people we play games with, but this one might be worth buying for us. And I thought that was really a testament to how good the game is.
Yeah, it's super good. I've never seen it at Target or anything, but that's where it came from. So I don't know how easy it is to get, but it's good if you can find it. Next up is also a game I think that was at Target. I don't know. But it's Disney animated, and this is a cooperative game about basically building a Disney movie. You're drawing a Disney movie. You're an animator. So there's, I think, five or six different movies that you can pick from. Everybody's going to pick one. And you're basically trying to get a background for your movie, which is placing these tiles on your board. You're trying to collect paint because you need to be able to paint the animation cells, and you can't do that until your background is completed. And then once that is done, then you're trying to get your villain for your movie from the villain pile onto your board, which is how everybody has to end the game. If everybody gets their villain, then the game is over. But every round, the villains that are still out are going to attack you. There's these little cards that come out. I forget what they're called, but they're bad and they can make you lose certain things, make you take advance the timer that you have to complete the game. And it's not the hardest cooperative game in the world, but we lose. So there is that, but I really like this. The theme is welcoming. Our 8-year-old, or I keep saying she's eight. Our 10-year-old daughter likes it. Cause I use those 8 and 9-year-old stories all the time. I can't remember how old she is. And it's fantastic. So if you can find Disney Animated, I say check it out.
Yeah, we ordered this offline or something because I told you about it. And you're like, I never heard of that. But I feel like it's stuck under the radar. And for me, this is cooperative. And I think it's what a lot of people want villainous to be. It's much more accessible for non-gamers, but still obviously complex enough. But the fact that you can work cooperatively, I think makes it really worthwhile. It's very good for Disney fans. Much better. I would recommend it over villainous anytime.
Agreed.
So another one that we just picked up this year at Origins from this adorable set of brothers. We got Finnish Fish from them, and I'm like, oh, well, there's a deal. This game looks fun, and it's Horticulture. So Horticulture is like a flippin' draw where you are.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten their names because I'm a jerk.
What is it?
Night?
Yeah, last night games.
Okay. We came up with it.
Yeah,
also, Finest Fish and this game, both very, very good. Horticulture, you are drawing your garden. Before you even play the game, you have to make a plan for your garden, which is deciding how things are going to score based on their locations in the garden. And then you have to kind of make that work with what cards get flipped. So it's like a really thinky version of flipping right, drawn right. And I really enjoy it. I think I would save this for more experienced gamers just because it can be like, what the heck is happening? But I really like it, Horticulture.
Yeah, this is definitely, if you're tired of like silver and gold or something where you're just marking off some X's, this one definitely adds more game to it for sure. There's a whole first half of the game before you even start playing that is way more important than you even know. So yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, but it's good.
It is good. And then the other one is this supposed to be a kid's game or?
I don't know. It's from Phil Walker Harding. So probably not. It's just family game, I think.
But it's called Oh No Volcano. And on this one, you are trying to climb up a mountain that happens to be a volcano, I guess, and collect, Are they gems?
Yeah, gems. Yep.
Collect a certain amount of gems. I don't know what they are. I've only played it one time. And not get your climber knocked off by these marbles that are dropped from to simulate volcano eruptions, I think.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fireballs, which is not just going to knock you off the mountain. It's going to kill you. But in this, it just knocks you off the mountain.
Yeah, I'm not real clear on the theme, how that's supposed to play out. But it is really fun. It's our daughter really likes it. I've only played it the one time, and it was fine.
Yeah, it's not a great... Like, I put it on the list mostly because I had fun with it, and Rory really likes it. But... it's got a good gimmick. It's got a cool Plinko gimmick kind of thing. Has some decent production. And it's entertaining. That's kind of why I wanted to mention it. Because Phil Walker Harding's awesome and it's entertaining. So,
yeah, I do want to give a lot of love to Phil Walker Harding. Because he's put out some games that are a low price point, but still super quality.
Well, and this accessible. This is Buffalo as well. So...
Yeah, and I was going to say that's a double because I feel the same way about Buffalo as well. So those are our favorite games of 2023. I really feel like Septima should be on here, but we haven't played it yet because we're terrible people.
At some point we will.
At some point we will. Absolutely. Like that's on my list to sit down and just read the rules. And then like that's how I learn games, which is not how anybody else learns games. I understand that. But that's how I learned Let's Go to Japan. And I was able to teach it, so I'll probably try it with Septima, which I have a vague idea. We played like a shortened round of it, so I have a vague idea of how to play it. But we definitely, like, I need time and attention to play that one. But what about you? What are your favorite games of 2023? I honestly didn't know what came out in 2023, so Jason had to send me a list because I'm like, I don't know. Games just appear, and I don't know if they're old or new or what. So if you really liked something that came out in 2023 and we should try, I should actually, you know, hear about, please tell us, visit any of our socials, send us a message. We've got a Discord chat. Is that what that's called? Yeah.
Yeah, we do have Discord. It's not very active, but we do have one.
No, but it's just nice to pop in every now and again, send a little hey. People tell us what they're playing or if they picked something up, which I think is super great. Again, this podcast is just pretty okay. We're really just here to talk about games in like a really welcoming, inclusive, non-turdy place.
That's true. That is what we do. We are not turdy, and we're pretty okay.
If you are turdy, I will call you out.
That's true. The Pretty Okay Non-Turdy Podcast. That's the new tagline.
Man, that subtitle is getting good.
But yeah, well, I do a ton of videos on YouTube. I'm starting to try some TikTok stuff. I hate TikTok, but I can do a video for them for like 37 seconds. So that's kind of nice. We have Twitter, all the normal places you can find us if you're so inclined. Like and subscribe and do all the things with the stuff. There you go.
Sure. Yep. I one of these days I'm going to write some, you know, written reviews or something. Maybe I need to find a good format. I don't know. I can't play by the rules.
I mean, I just rant. I just write rants. That's what I do.
Yeah, well, apparently you're holding that down, so I don't need to do it.
Yeah, some of them get a little controversial, but that's fine.
Oh, gosh. I'm not here for controversial. But what I am here for is to go to bed because it's getting late here. But it's so good to be back to our sort of normal. So I've been Katie.
And I'm Jason.
Keep gaming, everybody.
Keep gaming.